you to turn your Bibles for a moment this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 2. I thought since Christmas is approaching, I'd just get an early start too. So. Matthew, chapter 2, and verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. Lord, we thank you today that we have an opportunity that we can come and meet together, that, Lord, we can sing the songs of Zion and fellowship with your people, that this morning, Lord, that we can learn more about you. And we thank you today, dear Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ that he might be our Savior and bind us together. And this morning, Lord, we pray that as we go forth in this service that you would forgive us this morning of our sins and our shortcomings, that you would cleanse us from all sin today, that you would give us the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that he might have free rein in this service to speak to each of our hearts. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray and ask it all. Amen and amen. We sang a song a moment ago, and that song kind of been on my mind for the past few days for some reason, called Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And you know, the songwriter was a man by the name of George Atkins. He wrote that song in 1819. That's a long, long time ago. But it still got a great message even today. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. You know, that's really the reason that we should meet together each time we come. Over in the book of Corinthians, Paul made a statement. He said that when you've come together, you've come for the wrong reason. What's the right reason that we should come and meet together in God's house today? That is to worship and adore the Lord our God. In our text, we find, of course, that it's depicting for us and telling us of the birth of Jesus Christ. And as we read this text, we find that, of course, the wise men have come from the east, for they've seen his star. I often wonder, how did they know what the star meant? How did they know to come to Jerusalem? How did they know? But God has a way of telling people and bringing people to where they need to be. And these men, as they came from the east, the Bible says that they came to Jerusalem and they made a great inquiry. They wanted to know, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship. We have come to worship. They came to worship the Lord today. They came to worship the one that was born, the Messiah, the Christ of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of all humanity. They came a great distance to worship the Son of God. They came to come into the presence of royalty. Over in the book of Psalms, chapter 95, we find that the psalmist said, Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. In verse 6, it said, Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, this morning. We find that several times in those verses, we find that little word come. And when you read that word today in the text of the Psalms, it's giving an enthusiastic time. It's not talking about we simply wander in and sit down and we're really enthusiastic. We're like David said, I was glad when they said unto me. We come into the house of God enthusiastic this morning, knowing that God has given us the privilege of another day of life, and that we can come this morning and pay our respects. We can come this morning and adore the Lord our God. We can come before His presence with thanksgiving and with singing today. We can come to worship Him. You know, this morning we sometimes, I think, fail to understand, and I know that I do oftentimes, of this great thing of coming together with God's people and worshiping the Lord our God. But we come today to worship because He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our worship this morning. Over in the book of Revelation, we find that John, as he's caught up into heaven, and as God there is giving him a picture and having him write down some things for us this morning. And in chapter number 5, we find that in verse number 9, we find these words. And they sung a new song. I kind of like that. They sung a new song. Somebody says, what song is that? I have no idea. It's a new one. God wrote the words, I can assure you of that this morning, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy. Speaking here about Jesus, speaking here about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, speaking here this morning about the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. He is worthy. It means this morning He is of great value. I was reading the other day about this word worthy, and you know, when the President of the United States comes in to a room, when he walks in, they play a song called Hail to the Chief. And everybody stands when the President walks in out of way of respect and dignity of the office he occupies. Well, this word worthy was used in medieval times when a king was to come into the presence. They would say, worthy, worthy, worthy. That's what it's saying here, that here is one who is worthy. And we are to respect him and treat him with great dignity. You see, Jesus this morning is of great value. To be honest with you this morning, I would say that more than that, Jesus Christ is priceless. He's priceless today. The For thou art worthy. For thou wast slain. Jesus died upon a cross. Jesus was slain. Today, the Lamb of God was slain. He was placed upon the sacrificial altar on Mount Calvary. And there for all the world to see, God displayed His love and His grace and His mercy toward humanity by allowing His Son to be crucified this morning, by allowing His Son to be slain. For thou wast slain. I wasn't slain for you. Nobody else was slain for you but Jesus Christ. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. He paid the price. He paid the price. He redeemed us. He paid what we could not pay. I was in Dollar General the other day, and I don't know if you've ever been to Dollar General, but one unique thing about them, you can have 700 customers in one checker. And I was there in the line, and I was in a hurry, and I had about two things. And the dear lady in front of me had a pocket full of coupons. And they were trying to scan them things, and I wanted to say, "Ma'am, if you'll just let me, I'll pay the difference. I'll redeem them coupons right now. I'm ready to go." And see, that's kind of what Jesus did for us. He paid the price. He redeemed us. He paid for us. We've been bought with a price. He redeemed us this morning. And he made unto us, unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We're kings and priests. We don't have to have this morning a mediator on this earth. We have a mediator in heaven, the man Christ Jesus. I don't have to go into a confession booth and speak to some man. I don't have to have a intercessory to pray for me. I'm a priest unto God. I can go straight to the throne of the Lord. That's a great privilege, folks. You think about that today when you're laying in that hospital bed. When you're this morning got a crisis facing you, when things are not all they seem to be, think of the great privilege you have of simply being a priest unto God, and you can take it into him because he cares for you. Amen. He's worthy of our worship. We've been made joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I like that song. I'm a child of the King. My father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. The Lord today is worthy of our worship today. We're not to worship preachers. A lot of preachers want you to worship them, but they're not worthy of our worship. There's no preacher worthy of your worship today. I didn't say you're not supposed to respect the office and dignify the office, but I'm saying today that no preacher is worth our worship. No politician is worth our worship. None of the pop stars or the popular athlete today. There's one person who's worthy of the worship that we are to do today, and that's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Paul said in the book of Philippians that they have given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. You see, we have to bow before him today. We have to come humbly before him this morning. We have to be contrite and sing his praise. We're not to come into the house of God prideful. I used to hear a black preacher on the radio, and he said, he'd always say, "Some of you folks come in here peacock proud." You know, we're not to come peacock proud. We're to come this morning humbly. Because without him, what will we have to come for? We're to come contrite. We're to come this morning singing his praises. Singing praises to the Lamb of God. You know, that's what it's all about today. That's the reason we should be here this morning, is to worship the Lord our God. It's amazing how sometimes we get so caught up in things. Two people went to church one Sunday morning, or several people were in the church, but I heard a preacher saying that as they were coming out, one come running up to him and he said, "Preacher," he said, "this was the greatest worship experience I've ever had in my life. God really moved this morning." And he said about the time this gentleman got out the door, this lady came up to him and said, "I just want you to know that organ's out of tune and it ruined my worship service." And he thought, "Are both these people in the same church?" You see, sometimes we let things get in our way of worship. We, this morning, kindly begin to think about all the things that we think about. You see, but it's not about the music. I love good music. I love to hear when you sing. I love to hear the choir when they sing. I do. As they're singing praises to the Lamb that died for me. I told you, I can't sing, but boy, I love to hear them sing. But you know, it's not really all about the music. I love to fellowship with God's people. I like to come to the house of the Lord and just be with God's people. Not about the sermon. You know what it's really all about this morning? It's about Him. When we get to the point this morning that when we can come to the house of God and we can worship Him because He's worthy, because we recognize the great worth of Jesus Christ, we recognize this morning where we would be without Him. He is worthy. Amen. Well, in our text this morning, I want you to see something very clearly. He is rejected by most of the world. John said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The Bible says these wise men came, and they inquired that where he would be born. And the Bible says in verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. Jesus troubles people. Did you know that this morning? Jesus troubles people. And all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. See, Herod was troubled, and he called all the chief priests and the scribes, the religious leaders, together, and he said, where's this fellow supposed to be born? There's some people here wanting to know. They said he was born. I want to know where it's at. Where he's at? And these chief priests and the scribes, they say, well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. You say, well, now, you know what they were saying? Well, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, ho-hum. We'll go back to business as usual. Can you imagine the thing that should have stirred their hearts and their lives? Here were people that were in the religiosity business. They were the people who were supposed to be leading God's people. And here was the Messiah, the promised one, had come and to be born. And here were some folks inquiring about it, and they weren't even excited about it. Just, well, Bethlehem, Judea. I got to go home. Got to mow my grass. Everything was more important than worshiping Jesus. Have you ever thought about how things are so much more important to most people than worshiping the Lord. So much things going on and so many other things, and they're caught up in so much stuff. Hey, I've read the Bible. I've heard a little bit about the Bible. I went to Sunday school when I was a kid. I sometimes think it's like a little boy. Mama said, got him up. He was going to, she said, we got to get ready for church and Sunday school. And he said, I don't want to go. And she said, you're going anyhow. Well, she finally got his clothes on him, and he goes in there as his daddy with a recliner pulled back watching television. And he said, Daddy, did you have to go to Sunday school when you was a little boy? He said, sure did, son. He said, well, probably won't do me any good either. Think about that. Ho-hum. It's Christmas. It's Thanksgiving. The Lord's been good, but I really don't have time to worship him. Is that the attitude of most of the world we see today? I'm not saying they're really bad people. I'm just saying this morning that the concept of the world is much like these folks in that day. They're not really excited about Jesus. They're just going on with life day by day. And of course there was Herod. He was troubled about it. He's afraid he's about to lose his kingship. So he said, we got to get rid of him. We got to dispose of him. And he became a mass murderer because this morning he didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to worship himself. We see a lot of that going on in our world today, don't we? I'm not going to get caught up in a lot of controversy, but it's still amazing that as we approach this time of the year we call Christmas, but we can't even call it Christmas anymore. It's holiday. People don't even want to acknowledge what Christmas is all about anymore. We've heard that 1,000 times, but think about this. Why don't they? You see, they want to worship themselves. They want to worship themselves. Paul said in the book of Romans that they wanted to worship the creature more than the Creator. You know, people used to make idols out of stone and wood and carve these idol gods. Some places they worship crocodiles. Some places they worshiped bulls and goats and all different kinds of animals that they would make idols to. Somebody asked me the other day, did Muslims worship cows? And I said, no, that's Hinduism. They believe you're reincarnated, and when you die, you come back as some animal. And so if you eat a cow, you could be eating your grandma. I mean, you know, that's what they believe. I mean, honestly. And we think that's strange. But you know, we're so sophisticated today. We don't put these idols up. But you know what we worship today? We worship ourselves. We worship us. Look how smart we are. We don't need God anymore. We've got all kinds of technology. We've got all kinds of advances in science. We've got a higher educational level. We've come so far we don't need God anymore. We'll just worship ourselves. And so that's why you see them trying to dispose of God in our society today. That's why they try to dispose of the Word of God. That's why they try this morning and say, you don't want to talk, you can't talk about Jesus. You can't have a nativity scene on any government ground. You can't, we're going to do away with all of this. We're not going to say Merry Christmas in our business. We might offend somebody. They wouldn't bring us the money. Huh? That's what they're saying, folks. They're just like Herod. They're troubled. Jesus troubles people. you see, he is worthy of our worship today. The Bible says, as we would read down in verse number 11 real quickly, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." You see, they came humbly before him. They fell down. They paid him the homage that he was due. They fell down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts and gold and frankincense and myrrh. They give unto him the respect, the dignity, the homage that he deserves. Do we do that today? Do we come humbly before the Lord and fall down and worship him? You see, that's what it's about. Oh, come, let us worship him. Brethren, we have met to worship. Let us worship the Lord our God. Let us adore the Lord our God. Let us lift up the Lord our God. Let us praise the Lord our God. Let us realize that it's not about us. We may be few in number, but our voices reach unto heaven today as we worship the Lord our God. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, Peter, and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. I ask you to take this very simple message, use it this morning for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' precious name I pray.